All right. Happy Friday, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself, airing each and every Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. here on KDNK Community Access Radio, located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. It is 4:01 right now. And I'm your host today, Brian Colley, here on Express Yourself. We feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. A little later on, don't miss a conversation about the Tiny Print Showcase up now at Carbondale Arts. We'll have co-juror Johanna Muller on the phone from Greeley and award-winning artist Bailey Haynes in the studio for that conversation. Towards the end of the show, we'll have a chat with Lara Whitley, who is the Red Brick Center for the Arts Aspen Public Lead Art Lead, about a couple of calls for entries up there, including a call for a human-sized birdhouse. Don't want to miss that. But first, we have some special guests here in the KDNK studio to talk about an upcoming event at Bonfire Coffee happening next Tuesday, the Roaring Fork Storytellers. So keep it tuned here for the next hour of Express Yourself. Don't touch that dial. Some people have everything and other people don't. But everything don't mean a thing if it ain't the thing you want. Express yourself. Microphones on, get our special guests here. Let's see if these are working. Say hi, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
We have two of the three featured storytellers in an event coming up at Bonfire Coffee here in Carbondale after hours next Tuesday, September 1st, called the Roaring Fork Storytellers. So we have Bridger Langfer and Chris Walters here in the studio. They are two of the three. Amy Kimberly is actually I think the third storyteller. Amy's my co-host for Express Yourself, but she's getting back in town from a river adventure. So I'd love to have you both introduce yourselves and tell us how you got to be part of this event next Tuesday night.
Yeah, cool. My name is Chris Walters, and I used to work over there at the Bonfire Coffee Shop.
Yes, barista.
Yeah.
Skilled barista.
Skilled Chris barista, Walters. Et cetera, et cetera. Had to get out too bright in there.
You got your artwork up on the wall, too.
That's right, yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure to just see that up there and yeah, what an exciting time to be at Bonfire Cafe. But so I was working there and just wanted to open up the space from time to time after hours. It's just such a beautiful space and I've got a great community, always looking for things to do. And Pete approached me wanting to do this storytelling.
Oh, yeah, and Pete Belland.
Pete Belland. He's our host, lovely.
Yeah. Couldn't be here today.
Storytelling savant. He's done a lot of storytelling, I guess. In different places, in different times. Cool. And so it's something he really has a passion for, and he came to me wanting to put that on. And then so the first one we did was last May.
Okay.
And then it's...
Of 2026?
Of 2025.
2025.
2025.
So it's been going on for a while.
That's right, yeah. Cool. So we've just been always we're looking forward to the next one and the next one. It's always been a good turnout and a lot of fun. And this is now our... fourth event.
Whoa.
And hoping to make it a little bit more of a regular thing moving forward. as we get some structure. But, you know,
and it's always been at Bonfire Coffee, is that
always
right?
Always been at Bonfire. That's right. Yeah, we open her up. We have like some snacks and some drinks and some fun. Don't tell anybody.
I like a late evening-ish coffee shop vibe.
Yeah.
Because Bonfire usually closes at 2, so this is like a special thing to get to go there. I think it's at 6:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we will not be serving coffee.
Okay, that's, good to know.
Yeah. If you're coming for a latte. Yeah, exactly. The drinks are free. You can bring your own.
Oh.
Yeah, we usually have a little bit of like red or white wine there and some snacks, crudités, et cetera.
I like it.
Yeah, if you want some coffee, Sprazzo, they serve the cafes until 9 p.m., so come on through.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Good shout out. Have you been part of the storytelling events before then?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Oh.
Before Bonfire.
No, not like the previous iterations of this.
Oh, yeah.
At Bonfire.
Yeah, yeah. I was one of the first storytellers, and then each week we do, or each time we have it, we invite people up to tell a story if you feel so inspired. And I've had the gumption to get up there a couple times.
The gumption. It does take some gumption.
It does, but it's always fun. Next thing you know, you're rat-tat-tatting, you know?
They've got a supportive crowd, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It's an easy crowd out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Bridger? No stranger to the microphone.
Yeah. I got into storytelling, I would say, at a really young age. I would find my family dinners really boring. And, you know, my parents are intellectuals, and they would sit around talking about really serious stuff. And so I'd bring home, you know, ridiculous antics from my day at school, which there always is something funky going on at school.
Sure. Yeah. It's not like the, what did you do today? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, let's go for it. I'm at family dinner anyway. I might as well tell a yarn here. And I think that came from my mom, who, you know, kind of, she's a classics. She has a classics background and talked a lot about, you know, the importance of the oral tradition and, you know, ancient Greece or, you know, in many ancient cultures. And so I think I got a little bit of that from her as well.
Wow. And have you been part of this event yet at the?
I have. I've been a featured storyteller once. I've told a story a few other times. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm always telling stories. And yeah, I don't know if you, some people may have heard enough, but if you do want to hear a good one, you know, come on by. I will say these stories are really cool because each person brings a different flavor. I mean, it's like a ice cream shop of feelings, you know. You get like sincerity, you get darkness, you get hilarity, little smattering of all the delicious stuff.
Yeah, I'm familiar with like the Moth Radio podcast, so I'm kind of feeling like maybe it's in that similar vibe.
Totally.
But I know there's also an open mic session.
Yeah.
Is that like after the three storytellers go, or
kind of like thread it through? It's really sort of like if you're feeling inspired, he'll you know, we really kind of like push for that stuff, because it feels a little nerve-wracking to think about getting up there. But what's really cool about that open mic portion of it all is that it's a loose theme.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you get people coming up and telling all these really random stories that are somewhat connected to this theme, but really also broad stretching. And so it kind of goes all over the place. And then you can tell us, I mean, you can tell a 60-second story if you just want to go up there and riff for like a minute, you know?
Yeah.
If you just have like a little bit, it's not like something you need to start like checking
right.
the boxes.
Analytically.
And make it a whole this thing. But then next thing you know, you start telling something that's inspired from the heart.
We want you to tell a story.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, Chris and I are in no better shape than you are. If you come to this event, neither of us have prepared.
What?
Spreadsheets, man. Spreadsheets.
Massive spreadsheets.
Strings on the wall. Yeah. Pins everywhere.
Yeah, red thread everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Both of us, we were just talking before the show about how we're both coming through with the wing it strategy.
There's no timer. Or you just kind of get to the end at some point.
I think that, you know, there is like a general idea for like the featured storytellers. I think it was like 10 or 15
12 minutes.
Somewhere between 10 and 15 is like but whatever, you know, we're not capping this.
Gotcha.
You know, it can go as late as
no
it
one's there
to.
With the cane to drag you off.
No, not at all. Yeah. Yeah. There's no trumpets in the background playing us off.
Cool.
And then so yeah, we're excited. We're both excited to see what we have to say and other people have to say as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to ask you a little bit about, if you're willing to share a little bit about what you want to share, but remind me what the theme is again for this event on Tuesday.
Letting go, 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 go.
Good effect. Glad I pushed that button right in time.
Oh, reverb.
Letting go. Okay. And so you've each kind of been thinking about a story of like a personal experience that you've let go. Okay.
Yeah. Broad spectrum, you know.
Yeah. And that's what people should be thinking about if they like want to tell a story, or is it kind of open?
Well, so what's really cool about it is you come and maybe you don't even know that you're coming with a story to tell. Mm. But then you start hearing the people who are already on their way up, and they're telling a story. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, like something sparks in your brain, you know, just like anytime you're having like a general conversation with, you're just bouncing back and forth, you know, these things kind of pop in and you're like, oh, that reminds me of this time or that time.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, actually I'd love to share this little bit. And then, I mean, some of the funniest things that I've heard in a long time come from this storytelling
event,
from some random person coming up there and then just sharing this wild story about their past. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
whoa.
And it's really cool because we all come from different walks of life, especially here in this valley where it's like such a, you know, random hodgepodge of people from all over the world even. And so everybody's had a different, everyone has a different story to tell.
Whoa. Well, would you be willing to share a tidbit of what you're kind of planning? You're not planning, but you're...
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming together in your head.
Well, so the way I usually do it, and this is just, you know, you can do it your own way, but this is how I kind of set myself up, is I have a story that I've been feeling needs to get out of me, and like it's like shaking around in there, and I know that that's shaking around even before I know the theme. And so I format the story to the theme versus letting the theme dictate what the story is to me.
Wow.
And so my story is just for the overall narrative arc, what I've got going on is you have a dream.
Okay.
You can't figure out how to get there. You let go and you realize, oh, wait, I don't know how to do this. So you just let it go to the wind. And somehow your dream sneaks up on you from behind and catches up with you right when you're least expecting it.
Wow.
And that's my story.
So this is like kind of a personal like philosophy of how that works, or is it like you have an example in your life that has happened?
Concrete example. This is how it works, guys.
That's awesome.
If you haven't let go of your dreams, do it today and they'll come and get you.
In a good way.
In a totally, totally normal way.
Freddy Krueger experience.
Yeah, it's not waiting in the shadows or anything. You might trip and fall, but that's part of the journey, right?
Oh, my God. How about you, Chris? Do you know what you're planning to generally share? You don't have to share, like,
Yeah. I've got some idea. And it's really cool what you said about, like, the theme, not having the theme dictate what you're going to tell about, but really what you're telling about sort of... find its way towards the theme.
Yeah.
And in the past, a lot of the stories that I've told have like kind of like thought, oh yeah, like and sometimes just a story that I've told really recently to just like a friend or a couple of friends, and I'm like, and it's just right there, and I'm like, you know what? That's actually like, it's perfect if you think about it this way, and you kind of mold this word in that way.
Yeah.
And this is actually what I'm going to tell a story about. It's something that I really haven't actually shared with too many people, and that's just kind of sort of the journey that I've gone through in getting to where I am now, and finding where certain aspects of it may not have gone the way that you thought they would, and wondering what in the hell, why would I have made those decisions, and then realizing you just let that go, and later on you find out that it is actually perfect.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. I love that. That's a really like deep personal reflection on just how life kind of works sometimes.
Yeah.
That mystery.
And usually my stories are more about like getting lost in the woods and thinking about taking drugs and and a good crack.
I'll sit there and listen to that too.
They're fun stories. And so who knows where it'll go. I'm sure we're all going to have a lot of laughs no matter what is talked about. It seems like there's always some humor to be found.
Sure.
Within the story. Within like the...
Yeah, no, it's like the human experience you're sharing. And you'll I'm sure all share very different things, and who knows who will step up to the mic yeah. open mic session.
Yeah.
And how long is this event usually? Five hours?
That's really what it kind of depends. And, you know, you can come and go. It's not like we're locking the doors when it starts. The uh-huh. doors open all the time. You can come and go as you please.
Cool.
And so in that sense, it's pretty loose. 6:30 is when we're going to effectively get started. Mm-hmm. But again, even then, that's kind of just like a loose, it's yeah. like 6:30 hits and we're like, okay.
Carbondale everybody time. Kinda,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's all the community. So if you come like a few minutes early, everybody's there. And like I said, there's a little snacks. So we're all chatting. Everybody's catching up. You're starting to see people that you haven't seen in a long time, awesome. which is really fun about it too. And then,
okay.
And then it really just depends on how many people want to,
I think it usually wraps up when there's a collective feeling in the room that we've heard enough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think we've done it, folks. Mm-hmm. And then we call it a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so this is this coming Tuesday, September 1st.
That's right.
Roaring Fork Storytellers at Bonfire Coffee. And the theme is Letting Go. Or is that it?
That's right.
And is
go,
there a
go,
fee?
Go,
is there
go,
a
go. No? No, it's totally free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for sure. We're just opening the doors and doing our thing. We just want to provide something for the, like I said, for the community to come together and have fun.
I will say the only thing to be aware of is your story has to be a true story.
Got to be
that
a true story.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's smart.
Good to clarify.
Yeah, because
someone could just get up there and.
Yeah, we'll know.
Tell all,
we'll know if you make it up. It's
yeah.
so.
I think that's part of the moth thing too. They
I
have
don't
to
know if I would know.
Be
I,
true.
I was like, I might have to give them the benefit of the doubt on that one.
There's some gray area.
Yeah, exactly.
How can people learn more about this experience? Is there a website or just kind of show up at Bonfire?
We got some flyers out and about. Ask around, and if you want to know more. I haven't really talked to Pete about revealing his information personally, but
yeah,
I know
no,
this is something
cool.
he's a really big fan of. And so if you want to get a hold of Pete Ballon, then that would be the best way to get more involved in something like this. And I know he's a big fan. He used to actually like coach people through stuff like this.
Oh, good.
And so it's just, and it's a beautiful form of self-expression.
Uh-huh.
And these things that you might have shared with friends and family, all of a sudden you get up and you share with a group of people, and it might shed new light on mm-hmm. what it is that it means to you. So mm-hmm.
super connective.
Right. Yeah. I can see that. And let's see. I had one more question. Do you know when the next one is going to be?
No, we do not.
Okay. Keep us in suspense.
Yeah. But recently it's been like a decent gap between each one, but we've always had a really good turnout and there's always been, some requests for more. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping to have it more often.
Yeah.
Okay. And so keep your eyes on the cork boards around town.
Yeah.
And, that's where you'll find the best
information. Listen to the radio.
Listen to the radio.
Yeah. Radio. All right. Well, thank you, Bridger and Chris.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Best wishes. It's also drawing club night, but
oh shoot.
At some point we're just going to coordinate and have drawing club at the storytelling.
Yeah. Club. I love that.
Just they can draw us. We can tell stories about them.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I'm into that.
But you're coming to the storytelling, right?
As a drawing club co-founder, I can I'll probably be at drawing club. But,
yeah,
but I can't wait to come to hear you guys tell stories sometime.
Thanks.
Thanks for all you do. Thanks for sharing.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. See there. If see, you'll see.
We
some
hope
people
to see
there.
As many of you who choose to be there. We will be the ones that see you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, guys.
Ciao, baby.
See you Tuesday.
flash of my shadow, and every day is trying to trick me into doing battle. Calling out fake up, wanna get me rattled. Wanna pull me back behind the fence with the cat. Building your lenses, digging your trenches. Put me on the front line, leave me with a dumb mind with no defenses, but your defenses. If you can't stand to feel the pain, then you are senseless. Since then, I've grown up some different kind of fire. And when the darkness comes, let it inside you. Your darkness is shining, my darkness is shining. Have faith in myself. Truth. I've seen a million number doors on the horizon. Now which is the future you're choosing before you gon' die? And I'll tell you about a secret I've been undermining. Every little lie in this world come from the vine. Say you're my love, say you're my home. Till my chin back, slit my throat. Take a bath in my blood, get to know me. All out of my secrets. All my enemies are turning into my teachers. Speak up, light's blinding, no way dividing. What's yours or mine when everything's shining? And your darkness is shining. My darkness is shining. Have faith in ourselves.
Thanks for keeping it tuned here to KDNK. This is Express Yourself. It's 422, and let's see if I've got we've got Bailey Haynes in the house. Hi, Bailey.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's see if we've got Johanna Muller on the phone. Are you there, Johanna?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we got the team together.
Hey, Johanna. Hi.
Well, let's see. The Tiny Print Showcase, for those who don't know, is a group juried show up now at the Carbondale Arts Gallery. Just opened last Friday. It's made up of over 30 artists from across the state of Colorado. The show opening was a huge success. Sorry, Johanna couldn't be there. You were doing other things out and about. And for those who also don't know, the show has a size restriction, which makes it tiny for any artwork submitted to measure under 6 square inches, like 2 by 3 inches or 1 by 6 inches, and was open to artists of any skill level working in any of the wide variety of the printmaking processes. Co-jurors Johanna, who's joining here, us here on the phone from Greeley, was joined by Ray Munoz of Denver, who invited a handful of printmakers to participate and then reviewed the like received application submissions from about 25 or so other printmakers all over Colorado, including Bailey Haynes, who lives right here in Carbondale. And Bailey also won the Jurors Award for this show. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Big deal. Now you're an award-winning artist. If you weren't before, I feel like you might have been.
Oh, no, no. It's a big deal.
Yay. So welcome to you both. Thanks for being here on KDNK today. I've known Johanna for many years. I think I met you back in 2010 or 11. You were a printmaking resident at Anderson Ranch. I fell in love with your style of work and then got to take a couple classes with you the next couple years. But could you tell us just how you discovered your love and passion for printmaking and where that's taken you through today, where you are now in Greeley? The full story. We have a couple hours. Just kidding.
Yeah. That should be at least half of it. yeah. I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning and says, you know, as a little kid, I want to be a printmaker. Maybe the few that have printmakers in their family, but I certainly didn't. So I, as a kid, was like, I want to be an artist. And so I started making work, painting. I always loved, like, detail and tiny things. And then I was taking a class in college at Metropolitan State College at the time. Now it's the University of Denver. And I saw some prints in the hallway and didn't know what they were, but I was like so drawn to them. I think they were intaglio prints, so they were just like, I knew they weren't drawings, I knew they weren't paintings, they were just this in between, and I was fascinated. And then I got the chance to take a printmaking class and was just hooked. And like so many other people, the process and learning new things, and then when you pull this piece of paper off of your matrix or your block or whatever that substrate is that you've worked tirelessly for hours on, it is just like the best gift in the world. Like Christmas morning, it's like opening present every time that you get to pull a print. And I just love that. But it's the community that made me stay, because printmakers gather around a press. Presses are big machinery. They're heavy. They can weigh literally tons. And so oftentimes people don't have their own. You go to a shop or your studio, and it really builds community. It's kind of like ceramicists have that with a kiln. I think ceramicists and printmakers share some good blood. But and then I just kind of took it from there, ended up getting my master's, taught at lots of different institutions, made my own work tirelessly throughout the years, exhibited around, and then was at Anderson Ranch. And I like to think that in my engraving workshop, you were in, Brian, and we did a very tiny, like a 1.5 by 1.5 inch exchange, where everybody made a tiny little block. I think we called it a postage stamp exchange. And everybody made such cool pieces. And in a print portfolio exchange, if there's 10 people, you each make 10 prints, and then you get one of everybody's prints. So you come away with 10 prints, but they're all from the people in your class. And I still use those as examples when I teach workshops and everything. And there's just something really, really magical about tiny artwork and tiny prints.
Well, and especially your style just kind of lends itself to the tiny size, because your process uses these little tools that just can kind of scratch away the surface, whatever you're not going to be printing. And the detail you're getting, Johanna, is just astounding. Every time I see a new print, I'm like, how did she do it?
So, yeah, it's a square inch at a time. That's how it's done.
Yeah, that's how you eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Right. How we do it.
Do you remember what that first class was that you signed up for printmaking in college?
You know, it was just a beginning printmaking. It went through, we started with monotypes, and then the rest of the semester was all intaglio, which is an acid process where you have a, we're working with zinc and nitric acid, but you can do copper and ferric acid. Wow. But you learn how to apply grounds or things that block the acid to the plate. You etch right through them. The acid etches your lines that are exposed, and you get some really incredible textures. And then we had one little relief project at the end, I think linoleum. And I was so terrible at it. So definitely the community was so much fun, and the people were so great. And my professor was amazing at being extra encouraging, but also very critical. Enough that everything that I made it in the trash.
That's what I do love. I mean, you've mentioned a few things I love about printmaking, but the community is one, and then there's the variety. There's so many different access points into that world. And I haven't dived into the chemical part yet, because that scares me if I want to do that in my own studio. But the block carving and engraving is pretty accessible for me right now. So pretty great.
I along those lines, I was just looking at some YouTube videos of printmaking from home. And there's one where you can use Coca-Cola as your etching agent on tinfoil.
I think I have seen
have
something
you,
like
have
that.
Have either of you ever played with that?
I haven't.
No.
I have not, but I'm amazed at how, like, incredibly scrappy creative printmakers are.
Right? So I know.
We will figure out how to make something out of nothing.
Worth with whatever we have in our kitchen.
Yes.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Yeah, I did hear about that during COVID. Students who had signed up for printmaking classes all of a sudden didn't have a studio, so there was what was called, like, kitchen sink printmaking, and it was based on things that you literally had in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Potato stamps and the Coca-Cola method and some other things. So, yeah.
I was wishing somebody did a potato stamp for the Tiny Print Show, but maybe next time.
Oh, next time. Keep it in mind.
Bailey, I'd love to have you share a bit about your creative background and practice as well. I think you've also taken a class or two with Johanna.
Yes, actually.
We're big fans, Johanna.
We're huge fans. Johanna was my introduction into printmaking, too. I think it was just like a three-hour class one afternoon. And
at the project shop with Rena?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that one? I'm sure you
I sure
so
do.
Many.
It was so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just fell in love with the whole thing, the community. I think for me, the magic of printmaking definitely lies in that, in the reveal, in the fact it's like you have a blindfold on kind of while you're creating, and then mm-hmm. and then when you pull your paper off of your printed board, it's amazing. It's like it's like somebody else did it almost.
Except
it was you.
Yeah. So that was your first class?
That was my first.
Only maybe
I think 2014 or 2015.
Okay, cool.
And then I was inspired and spent a week up at Anderson Ranch studying under Jean Gumper. And she's a professor at Colorado College.
Okay.
And her specialty is reduction woodcut.
Aha.
So that's where I learned that process.
And that's what you have in this show.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you talk about what that means for those who don't know what reduction woodcut is?
Yeah. So you're printing with multiple colors. But you print one color at a time. It's kind of like watercolor where you're working from light, from your lightest color to your darkest color. And the first thing that you carve away from your one block of wood is the lightest color, and you print that. And then you carve more away again, print your next color, carve more away again, and so on and so on. Until basically you have nothing left on your block because you're just carving away.
So ideally you're making, at least five or plus prints in between each color.
Yeah.
So you have a little addition.
Yeah.
Instead of just one, because once you're done with that last color,
it's
done.
That would be so much work for just one little.
Yeah. But Bailey won the Jurors Award this year with Johanna and Ray as the jurors. So congratulations. You can go see her tiny award posted by her tiny.
Did you make those, Brian?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, they're so
it was
great.
So fun. Yeah, I want to make a bunch more. But we also had some other categories where there was a staff pick. You can go see the staff pick to Jeff Shepard, who lives in Arvada. There's also three other subcategories, like the tiny band poster, which would be fun to like do a tiny desk concert with NPR and do like a tiny band poster.
Brilliant.
For them.
Yeah.
And Chandler Condon, I'm trying to remember where Chandler lives, with like the Lizard Gizzard and the, what's it called? That band, the Wizards. People are screaming.
It all rhymes
right
together.
Field of Vision.
Field of Vision Festival.
Something.
Yeah. There's a tiny National Parks poster because the National Parks just turned 110 years old a few days ago. And that award went to Megan Hattack with a little Rocky Mountain National Parks poster. Lino cut. And then we had a tiny protest poster. And a woman named Robin Adams made a little poster with a little frog that said something about one of the federal agencies out there.
Not to be named.
I don't know.
But goes well with a nice glass of water.
There you go. So it was just fun to have some little subcategories for people to kind of aim for those. And then we had 163 miniature tiny prints for this show. So that was a big push to get those hung up for the opening last Friday. But there's also some additional extra prints in our tiny print shop. Anyway, thank you for making that show such a success. It was an amazing experience and a great evening to share with, I think, half the artists. So over 30 artists showed up for that, many from the Front Range. I was really blown away personally. What would you both say? I guess you've already kind of touched on what you love most about printmaking, but for me, I think it is the community. Johanna touched on the ceramics thing that ceramic artists have, kind of like there's so many different ways to get involved. And the printmaking community for me has been that touch point, especially recently discovering the ED Carve pink rubber eraser stuff. I haven't used that before this year, and it's been eye-opening just how kind of almost too easy it is to carve. I know, Johanna, you use something else, which is an acronym for something, which I can't remember.
Yes, I use, people call it HIPS. It's high-impact polystyrene, and it's almost like a PVC in the amount of density that it is, but it's plastic, but it's as hard. Use the same tools that you'd use on copper.
Yeah, and you can use those plates over and over and over and over again. I feel like the easy carve stuff might not be as long term as that.
That's the trade off.
Yeah, and there's a little more concentration, but I think you can also get more detail in the HIPS that you're using.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I do want to give a little shout out to Raina Katzenberger. She's not part of the show, but she's offering some fun Wednesday night printmaking workshops. We just figured those out. So there's different technique sessions happening at the project shop, which is inside Saw across town on Buggy Circle here in Carbondale, starting this coming Wednesday, September 2nd. She's offering a stencil screen printing evening and then a block carving session the following week on this September 9th. You can learn more at carbondalearts.com. There's 6 people per session, but she might open it up to host multiple sessions if there's enough interest. But it's a great starting point, like an access point for people who don't know much about screen printing or printmaking in general. Also, if you just want to come see Raina's shop, she's got an amazing collection of letterpress things. I think I took a letterpress class with Johanna, one of my last classes with you. Just eye-opening stuff. Johanna, can you talk about your Wonderhand Studios spot there in Greeley?
I am in the Greeley area, so we have a warehouse studio right by the train tracks. You can hear them go by. It's called Wonderhand Studios, and we have 7 printing presses. Wow. 4 of those are letter presses, and then we have an etching press and a lithography press, and then about 100 drawers of type and about 200 typefaces in those drawers.
Wow.
And it's a fun place. We rent studio space to local artists and who have access 24/7. And we do workshops and classes out of the studio as well. And have been operating since we opened in January of 2020 and then promptly closed and then reopened.
Oh, wow.
it was kind of funny. People found us through the grapevine during 2020 and 2021, and then we started doing classes in 2022. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's what we're about. Yeah.
What's next on both of your horizons, printmaking-wise? Do you have any printmaking shows or works that you're working on, or taking a break from 7-layer woodcut reduction prints? Because that sounds intense.
I'm working on a bathroom mural that I'm really excited about.
I've heard of this, yes. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get the crew together later, maybe after we're done, because the pressure might be a little less.
Yeah.
But that's not a printmaking project. That's a
It begins with the printing press.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then it quickly goes into painting and then other things. But
cool.
There's something I was going to say is that printmaking is so accessible and such a great starting place. Mm-hmm. For even if you don't feel like you have a creative bone in your body, mm-hmm. the printing press does a lot of the work for you. And it's such a great way to explore.
Yeah. Once you get your mind wrapped around how things are backwards and maybe mm-hmm. inverted, and if you're doing carving away negative space, but depending on the technique. Anyway.
Whoa, that just negated everything I said.
But I would do potato prints. I remember doing that as a kid, and that is just really fun way to just have a simple stamp kind of collection mm-hmm. thing going on. Do you have anything in the works, Johanna, for rest of the summer or fall?
Lots. Getting ready for holiday markets and some gallery exhibits. And I just finished a block featuring coyote, and I am doing a prairie series of animals. Proceeds, 10% of the proceeds go to Prairie Protection Colorado. I just did a prairie dog, and he's been very popular this summer. He's very cute, and they're a keystone species. And which means they just basically support the ecosystem from the ground up. Everything they do supports the earth and other animals. They're very cool. I have the whole thing on my website, and so I'm working on this series of animals that's either underappreciated or keystone species. And so I just finished the coyote. I'm ready to print.
You also had a recent collab with Claire Wright, who lives here in the valley. Just remembered collab.
Yeah, we had a show at the Blue Sage Gallery in Paonia, and I had printed on some fabric and sent it to her, and she made the coolest chairs. I don't know if they're still available. Go to her website and ask her, because they're amazing.
Yeah.
I hope they either found a home, or if you're looking for really unique chairs with woodcut and mm-hmm. incredible fabric on them, check out Kosecha Textiles and Claire Wright.
Yeah, those photos were astounding. Congrats on that collab. How can we learn more about both of you? Do you have a website, Instagram, or whatever you want us to reach out at? Bailey?
Sure. My website is pinestreetprints.com, and I'm also on Instagram. And
cool.
Yeah, here and available all the time.
Come see Bailey's art.
Come see my studio. I have a studio now.
That's right.
So yeah,
it's
and
gorgeous.
You're welcome anytime, all of you out there.
Yay,
Johanna. How can we find you?
I am at johannamullerprints.com and am at johannamullerprints on Instagram, Facebook, kind of, and and then Wonderhand Studios is wonderhandstudios.com and at Wonderhand Studios. And if you find yourself in the Greeley area, definitely hit me up. I'll give you a tour of the studio, and we also do drop-ins. So if you just happen to have a block in your car, we'll
always
score. Well, great talking to both of you. Thanks so much for making time to be here on Express Yourself on KD&K. Best luck on your next project's ongoing thing. So come see the Tiny Print Showcase at Carbondale Arts up through September 24th, carbondalearts.com, or come vote for People's Choice Award. All right. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. Thanks, Johanna.
Thanks,
Bailey.
Bye. Thank you.
Bailey. Bye.
Tiniest moves you make, the whole damn world shakes. Call it a bloodlust crisis of faith, been changing enough for us both, babe.
to head into our last segment here on Express Yourself here on KDNK Radio. Let's see if I've got Laura Whitley. Are you there on the phone?
Hey, Brian. It's great to be with you.
Hey, it worked out. Thanks for being here on Friday afternoon. Laura Whitley is the Aspen Public Art Lead, working with the City of Aspen and the Red Brick Center for the Arts. And first off, congrats on the big art parade back in June. That looked like a lot of fun, huge success, and a little throwback to art parades through the years in Aspen. But it's been a minute,
thank you.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a highlight of the summer. Loved working with Raina Katzenberger at the project shop and all the community members who came out with their costumes and conceptions and performances.
The photos
were
incredible.
Celebrate the 50th of the pedestrian mall.
Oh, yeah, 50 years of the mall. That's so cool. Remind us what your job entails as the Aspen Public Art Lead up there.
Sure. I run the City of Aspen's public art program. So we have two main missions, and one is to create and produce temporary installations of art, like just a rotating inventory, and that's from people who are from the Valley, the state, the nation, and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city also has a small public art collection, and we steward that.
Oh, okay, cool. So you get to do all the fun things up there that people get to look at and enjoy and take selfies.
There's a lot of public art going on here. We make it happen with a lot of different partners.
And you're here today to talk about a couple of artist calls for entry that are open now. I think both are open through the end of September. Is that right?
Yes. And in fact, we now have three calls out for artists.
It's breaking news.
A big part of what the Red Brick does to champion local artists, to build an ecosystem of art making. And we have a lot out. Just announced is the City of Aspen's Cultural Vibrancy Grant.
Yes.
And that application opened this week. It's a really amazing program between the Red Brick Center for the Arts and the Wheeler Opera House that supports local adult and youth artists with financial assistance, professional development, and opportunities to build meaningful connections in the community. And that deadline's a little sooner. It's September 24th.
Oh, yeah. About a month away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one is open to anyone who resides, works, or goes to school in the Aspen urban growth boundary. So I like to share it here because, you know, a lot of folks might be living down Valley and working up Valley, and they would still qualify.
Yeah.
So
that's a good
point.
That
is your thing.
Yeah.
Please check that out. Perfect. And then I'm also excited about the 2027 exhibitions at the Red Brick.
Yeah.
So this is for artists living and working in Colorado to apply for exhibition opportunities in 2027. And it's artists of all media, and we're looking for diverse artists to join us, share their outstanding work with us. And the gallery committee looks at everything that comes in and then starts with the people and the artwork to form the themes of the shows rather than the other way around.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
Just put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
And those talented folks on our gallery committee, along with our staff, will respond. And that one is up through September 30th. So
very cool.
Everybody has about a month to get their portfolios together.
No problem. And that makes it actually a little easier because you're not having to scrounge around and find your art people that you want to show with. You just put yourself out there, and then the committee kind of matches people with each other.
Yes. And
that's great.
You know, they're really attuned to themes that are coming out of what they're seeing during the jury selection.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, cool.
Okay, and then I have one more artist opportunity. This one's a little out of the box. It comes with a nice prize. It's called Perch, and this is a design build contest for a human scale birdhouse. We are partnering with ACES in Aspen, and we're looking for a professional team. So if you're an artist, an architect, a designer, or builder, get your crew together because we want you to design and construct a temporary human-scale birdhouse at the Hallam Lake site of ACES.
Wow.
So imagine 120 square foot elevated structure.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is it's got space, and us humans can go inside this birdhouse and listen to birdsong inspired music.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah. Wow. How did this idea come together? I love it so much. So different and creative.
I don't know how it landed.
There's like a bird committee that just wanted some giant birdhouses.
I was wishing for a cool, cozy space where I could go listen to birdsong inspired music. Maybe, I don't know. Where do ideas come from? Who knows?
Yeah. Great question.
But this one the jury situation is a little bit different in that we have sent out a request for qualifications,
mm-hmm.
and our selection committee will choose folks who they think everybody gets just one 5-inch by 5-inch napkin to draw
that's
a sketch
right.
on.
Yeah, I love that. Classic napkin sketch.
Yes, cool. The classic napkin sketch along with other materials required. But we're trying to really honor folks' intellectual property,
mm-hmm.
and to not have people put out their creativity on a big scale until we select finalists.
Yeah.
Three finalists will be selected. They will each get a $1,000 stipend to create a site-specific proposal. And a maquette, a model.
Oh, wow.
And then those will be part of a gallery exhibition in December.
Oh, cool.
And the community will vote and pick the winning design.
Oh, wow.
So
that's great.
And the commission is $50,000.
Yeah, which includes everything from, sourcing.
Equipment, materials, the building. But it's a shed-sized structure, and there's no utilities and there's no insulation.
Yeah.
So it keeps a lot that those design parameters make that a doable budget.
Wow. That's a lot of cool things you guys are doing up in Aspen. Way to go. I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, we mirror what y'all have going on at Carbonell. So I think we're really lucky to live in this really rich community of creatives, artists, makers, supporters, all of it happening here.
Yeah. We're going to feed off each other and keep each other inspired.
Yes,
exactly.
In the future. So let's do that.
Yeah.
And I have one more thing I'd like to add Perch, the birdhouse. That is, we have an info session coming up on Tuesday at 11 a.m. So
excellent.
If you're somebody who's seriously considering applying or just curious, this is the perfect opportunity to ask your questions directly. It'll be a live online session.
Okay, so just online. And then is there the committee that's kind of putting this together will be available to kind of...
I'm going to be there along with Brody Kettlecamp, ACES Vice President of Finance and Operations. So
great.
I hope between the two of us we can answer all the community's questions.
Yeah. No, I've heard a lot of conversation here and there, especially over at the old drawing club. People are getting their heads together. So
they're getting their napkin sketches at the ready.
They bought a giant pack of 500 napkins so they can just kind of work on them during drawing club. Yeah.
God, that is so good, Brian. That's an exhibition all in itself.
That could be cool. A napkin sketch.
I know.
Show.
Okay.
You should probably include that with the.
You
want
to know where ideas come from? This is it.
It's the 1+1=3 idea. And I think there's no fees to apply for most of these. Is that correct? Like for the gallery shows?
That's correct.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go.
No fees to apply.
Yay. Way to support all these artists, Laura. And you've got a good team up there at the Red Brick too.
Yeah. Part of a team.
How can people learn more about these things and apply and reach out to you?
You bet. It's one-stop shopping at redbrickaspen.com, or I'm pretty sure that's also our... Now I have to look up our Instagram really quick.
Yeah, Red Brick Aspen sounds right. Or maybe it's,
it does
Red
sound
Brick.
Right, but we should get it right, don't you think? Red Brick Aspen.
Perfect.
One way or another, either at Red Brick Aspen or redbrickaspen.com.
Awesome.
Is the portal for info on all these.
Okay, and then we'll find Laura Whitley, Aspen Public Art Lead, there on the website.
Yes.
So
And the meeting link for the info session.
Oh, yes. Tuesday, September 1st, 11 a.m. Awesome.
Be there.
Be there. Cool. Well, thank you, Laura. Anything else you want to add in there about what you're planning for winter or fall things? This is probably a big project, so I imagine it's taking up some time.
It's taking up some time. We're actually starting to plan out Public Art in the Making, which you participated in March. It's going to become an annual event where we're really trying to demystify the process and creation of public art.
I love that.
That'll be tuning up. We're going to be tuning up to that for March 2027. We're already looking ahead.
Yay. I know. End of August feels like the year's wrapping up somehow. But thanks for all the work you're doing up there, keeping the creative dream alive. And hope you have a great weekend. I'll hopefully see you around the hood.
Yes. Igualmente, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys. We're going to take us out here of Express Yourself. Hope you guys have a wonderful Friday evening going into Saturday. There is an art opening tonight at the Art Base if you're in and around Basalt, celebrating the works of Sarah Ransford, Sam Harvey, and Hunter Hogan. Maybe you'll see you there. Until next week, happy Katie and Cakes Community Access Radio. Bye.